The Pasco County DEC is providing this podcast as a public service in order to let you know more about the issues and ideas which Democrats have identified as being very important for voters, and also to provide a forum for Democratic candidates for office. Our podcasts are open to anyone interested in how Pasco Democrats are dealing with the important issues of the day. You can check out our PascoDems.com website and also on Facebook, Pasco Dems, and the views expressed by the guest and host on our podcast are their own, and not the official views of the Pasco County Democratic Party or Democratic Executive Committee. Okay, today's podcast guest is Brian Staver, who is running for the State House District 54. Now, we did interview him a long time ago, so it's time to take a look again at some of the things he talked about back then and anything new he may have decided at this point. So first of all, Brian, let's give some people your background. Where are you from? What have you done in the past and so forth?
Well, I'm a native Virginian. After my graduation from my schools and the Navy, honorable discharge from the Navy, I moved out to California and spent the next 25 years raising a family and working for a company called Cisco Systems, who I eventually retired from. And in 2015, my wife and I decided to move out here to Florida and do the retirement thing. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got out here to Florida. Got involved with politics with the East Pasco Democratic Club. And from that point forward, I decided to run for office. My first run was for the school board. Didn't do too bad for someone brand new with no real face recognition. We hit about 14,000 votes. I then decided to run for the Florida House of Representatives. And we garnered over 40,000 votes that time.
Okay.
So if we keep that going, we could be well over 60,000 votes this time around. We hope.
Terrific. Well, let's do this. Let's go back at some of those things you've talked about in the past. The first thing, let's talk about job creation.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people come out here and say, oh, we've got this is bad, that's bad, this is bad. You know, I'm here about coming up with solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my solutions is that we could put together a factory here in Pasco County to build solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
We could sit here because solar panels are a big thing and they're going to continue to be a big thing in the future. So, you know, that's one of my job creation solutions. The other solution I have is for the veterans. We need to get out there and get the veterans some places to live.
Uh-huh.
You know, a veteran's mental mental state,
right,
always depends on whether or not they have a home to go to.
Okay.
And yep. Go ahead.
And the next item. Let's talk about the environment, which is a very big issue these days.
Oh, how much time do you have?
Go ahead.
Okay, so here we go. Recently, we just heard about the Thawney Glacier, which is hanging on by fingernails down the Antarctic. And once that goes, we have about a 5 to 10 year window before we're going to see as much as a 3 meter rise in our sea level.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of people coming out of South Florida. There's going to be a lot of people out of Eastern Texas. Everywhere along the Gulf Coast or along the East Coast is going to feel the effects of the Thawney Glacier melting. Now, once it goes, you're looking at 5 years maybe before it really starts affecting everything. That's going to be a big problem because people are going to migrate. Where are they going to migrate? They're going to migrate north, northeast, and they're going to be looking for places to live. We also have to worry about all of the heat and the disasters that are occurring out west. Those folks have already started moving. They're already climate refugees,
mm-hmm.
and they're moving north to Oregon, Washington State, trying to stay away from the Midwest. They're doing Texas. They're coming here to Florida. I don't know why they're going to Texas. I understand coming here to Florida. And they're moving north, like I said, north, northeast. And this is going to become a problem.
Yeah.
You think you have a problem of migration at the border now from Central and South America. Wait until 40 million plus Americans decide they're going to move somewhere else.
Yeah, and we reduce it to just here locally in Pasco. When we built our house 20 years ago, we had to bring in a lot of fill to bring the lowest level of our house up to 39 inches above the worst storm in a century. And when we talk about things now, that was 20 years ago. We look at things now, and I don't think that the 39 inches would take care of any of the coastal flooding that could very well happen because of the things you're talking about and so forth. But at any rate, let's now go on to gun control. Again, another one of those major issues in our society today.
Right, right. I am a supporter of the Second Amendment, but I want to say that with qualifiers. I believe that no one under the age of 21 should be able to purchase a long gun and or a pistol or a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they should, if someone is going to purchase a weapon, that they have to go through safety courses, gun handling courses, and they also need to go through hunting courses.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be certified from a certified teaching group or an educational group saying that they have been through these courses.
Yeah, it's one of those things where in my past, when I was a kid growing up on a farm, you know, all the kids in the neighborhood had guns when we were 12 years old. But we wasn't that far away from Syracuse, New York. And on weekends and deer season, a lot of hunters in Syracuse come up. And the funny thing was, and it's really not funny in the long run, but some of those hunters mistook cows for deer, that we had red and white cows. And actually, they lost that one weekend. Three cows were shot because the hunters thought it was a deer. At that point, I began to wonder whether that was safe to go in the woods again. Anyway.
Right, right, right. Yeah. No, like you, I've owned guns all my life. My first gun was a single-shot .22 caliber that the shear pin wore out in. You had to be careful when you put a bullet in it because it would fire if you pushed the bullet forward too quickly.
Okay, all right.
So I've had some experience with weapons throughout my entire life, not only as a civilian but also as a Navy veteran.
Yeah, okay. Now, as so many major issues, healthcare.
Yeah, that's a biggie. We've got to start moving towards a more, I don't want to use certain words because it scares folks, but what we got to do is we've got to move more towards a universal healthcare system where we can take the burden off of the individuals, at least a high degree or a high percentage of the burden off the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare is ridiculous right now. I was just doing a lot of research for a gentleman who asked me a question about the donut hole.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to get back to him and tell him the donut hole was closed in 2020 with a $2,000 a year cap on medication, Part D. He was very happy, but sort of very happy that the donut hole was closed, but still having to come up with $2,000 for the cap was kind of stressful for him.
Right.
And it's stressful for a lot of people. We need to work on that, and I plan to do just that once I get into office.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. And I'm sure people listening to it will be glad, too. Okay, now, women and families in Florida. What do you think should happen in terms of women and families and working and so forth?
Well, that's a big question. There are several answers to that one. I feel that women should be treated equal to men as far as their pay scale and their job. If a woman's doing the exact same job a man is doing, then the woman should be paid the exact same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's item number one. Item number two, I believe that a woman who is working towards building a family should have the rights to make the appropriate medical decisions between her and her doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe the state and or any form of government should come between a woman and her doctor. Needless to say, I'm kind of not very happy about the Roe v. Wade decision, because that infringes upon the woman's right to make a decision for herself based on medical decisions that she's made with her doctor.
Go ahead. Are there any other measures in terms of women? How about the women who suffer from abuse?
Any woman who suffers from abuse should be able to get away from that person. I came from a very small town in Virginia called Broadway, Virginia, and it was readily apparent that several of the girls that I went to school with, and after I graduated, were being abused by their spouses and or significant others.
Mm-hmm.
This is unacceptable, and the law should be set in such a way is that if a woman's being abused, she should be able to make a phone call like they do here in Pasco,
mm-hmm.
and have an organization step in, find them a place to live, get them set up, and protect them as best as they possibly can from their abuser.
Okay.
I feel we should have a law should be made stronger against abusers.
Okay. Now,
and that's it.
And in terms of, you know, right while we're at it, in terms of, I'm going to ask another question, the protection of children. It seems to me that more and more often we will find out that a lot of the so-called statewide organizations set up to monitor the health of children in various circumstances don't seem to be doing the job. What do you think?
I happen to agree with you. I think that these organizations, although they're kind of like a paper tiger.
Mm-hmm.
They're there, and they have good intentions, but the state legislatures and the local legislatures are hamstringing them.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, "Oh, well, we're doing this, and this is all great," but when it comes to reality check, it's not happening.
Right.
We need to get our children fed, make sure they have a secure home, make sure that their lives can go on in a way that is. Go on the American way.
Mm-hmm.
They should be made. They should. Yeah. That's another one. It's a long soapbox for me.
Yeah. Go ahead. Don't feel bashful. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we should expand the current programs as far as getting meals to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They should also extend that to our or expand, because there are programs out there, they should expand those programs to our veterans and to our elderly.
Okay.
We have folks out there that are so sick they can't even get out of the house.
Right.
And we should have or expand the programs that exist to fix the gaps and make it a better world.
Okay. Now let's look at the area of infrastructure, road maintenance, youth recreation facilities.
Sorry.
Go ahead. What are your thoughts?
You're asking all of the right questions as far as getting me on my soapbox.
Mm-hmm.
Our infrastructure is under attack right now in Pasco County. We are building so many houses so fast that the roads, the plumbing systems, the sewage systems are just not able to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see us having the exact same issues. I believe it's in Lexington. I believe that's Mississippi. I could be wrong about that. We're headed in that direction. And we need to stop the philosophy of when they come, we will build. We are growing at 3.6%+ per year. If you're going to do a we will build when they come, your growth rate needs to be about 0.01 or 0.02%
mm-hmm.
per year. Mm-hmm. That way you can keep up. But in today's real world, that philosophy of build it when they come is going to be our undoing.
Okay.
As far as our infrastructure is concerned.
Right.
Roads are another thing.
Yeah.
Bridges and roads are in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new road here out of Wesley Chapel on Bridgewater Drive
mm-hmm.
is already got potholes in it that I'm afraid to run my car over. I run off to the side of the road just so I can go around the potholes.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same on Island Boulevard and other major roads in the area.
Okay.
It seems that we just can't catch up.
Okay.
And we need to start working harder. We need to start getting these the infrastructure built up.
Okay.
We need to put a, what is the word I'm looking for? Expedite.
Okay.
We need to expedite this.
Good. Now, how about equality? What things can we expedite in terms of race and gender and sexual orientation and so forth? What should we be doing as a state?
Well, in my opinion, I don't care if you're what color you are, what race you are, how you do your gender identity. I don't care about any of that. We're all human beings.
Okay.
We're all here on this earth to make a life for ourselves.
Okay.
Whether you identify yourself as transgender, or if you identify yourself as being gay, or if you're black or brown or Asian, whatever, you're human beings and you need to be treated as such.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you this question. It's very important. What characteristics or principles are the most important for an elected official, and do you have them?
Yes, I have them in spades, unfortunately, excuse the expression, but I'm very honest. And I would, keeping the public informed, being an honest, and working together from both sides of the aisle. That's one of the things that I'm big on. We have got to stop doing all the wah, 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 and calling each other names and being mean and coming up with all kinds of bad words. We need to sit down together, talk about the issues, work out the issues, and make sure that we do what's best for Pasco County and the state of Florida in general.
Okay.
And this is not happening right now.
Okay, and a couple of final questions. What are your thoughts on term limits?
You know, that's a very interesting question in and of itself, because term limits sound really great, and it lends a problem. And I'll use myself as an example. When you first get involved with politics and you first get up to Tallahassee, and this is for everybody that gets elected that's new, you have to learn your way around. Now, the people that know how to do this are the folks that have been there for years, that are the support folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the guys that help the newbies get their job done. Now, in my opinion, it takes about 6 months to really get the job down pat, know who to talk to. And with the help of the civil servants, that can be reduced dramatically. But the civil servants are the people who help the new elected folks get the job done.
Okay.
And so if you have a 2-year term, the first 3 or 4 months, you're just learning your way around.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next 16 months, you're finally getting stuff done. And then it's time to go up for reelection.
Right.
At least for the House of Representatives, not so much for the Senate, but for the House of Representatives.
Right.
So it's a never ending campaign. It's a never ending learning curve.
Okay.
And I have been exposed to that for all my life.
All
so
right.
I'm well adapted, and I'm ready and willing to make it happen.
Okay. As a final thing, let's tie a ribbon on this, Brian. What's the final thing you want people to take away from listening to this podcast about you?
Well, like I said earlier, I'm very honest. I'm an engineer. I don't believe in what I tell people. I don't believe in hullabaloo. I don't believe in fake news. I don't believe in I don't believe in people coming up with false stories.
Okay.
We have to be truthful with the people, and we have to communicate with the people.
Okay.
We have to understand their needs and their wants and how we can make it happen for them.
Okay.
And that's basically what I'm about.
Okay.
Get out there, get the job done, work with each other, and make it happen.
Well, that's a good way to end this one today, and I appreciate your time, Brian. Good luck to you, and we'll be talking to you in the future. Thanks very much.
Hey, no problem. Anybody who wishes to get in touch with me, www.ghostdaver2022 is my website, and ghostdaver2022 is my Facebook page.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Brian. Thank you.
You have a wonderful day.